Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and the lessons are from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, and the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Today's message is titled, Eyewitnesses of Majestic Glory. Hear the word from the Scriptures, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For we received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven, and when we were with Him on that sacred mountain, and we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Here ends the lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While He was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," He said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is to your glory and worship that you should be praised, and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Peter. Peter, wake up. Peter, get up. Come with me. Quiet. Don't wake the others. Quietly, Peter, come with me. Quietly stepping past a couple of others sleeping, Jesus comes to James and to John. "James," gently calling his name while shaking his shoulder. "James, wake up. James, get up. James, come with me." Rubbing his eyes, James starts to stir as Jesus turns his attention to the one next to James, his brother John, quietly snoring away. John! John! John, wake up! Get up! Follow me! Come with me now! Slowly, John stirs from his slumber and stumbles to his feet to follow along. Quietly leaving the others behind, the four, just the four, head off early in the morning light as the sun's rays begin to crest the top of the mountaintops and begins to shine down into the valley below, with that warm radiance starting to warm the valley below. Continuing on in the morning light, Jesus brings the three to the bottom of the mountain, and they begin the journey up the mountainside. Deeper and deeper into the solitude and the silence of the wilderness. Not much spoken. Just stumbling and following along as they try to wake up because they were coming along as they were bidst to do so. After much of the morning passed as they scrambled and climbed up the mountainside, arms and legs tiring, and they were already tired from being woke up early, Jesus brings them all to a stop. And the three disciples, they slump down as quickly as they can on the nearest suitable seat-shaped boulder from exhaustion and sleepiness. Soon the three are dozing off as Jesus goes a little farther, till suddenly Peter, James, and John were startled awake by the brightest light they have ever seen. A light so bright they don't remember ever seeing one so bright before. So bright the luminance penetrates their closed and sleeping eyes and startles them from their slumber. Struggling to become awake in the brilliance blasting at them and flowing from here, fear, Peter begins to speak as he and the others realize, there's two more with us. Where did they come from? Two more had joined them in this wilderness silence of mountaintop. Two beloved of Israel from long ago. So long ago, seeing them alive, it stuns the three. And they're stuttering, trying to exclaim, that's Moses. As they're stumbling for the words. And that's Elijah. That's Moses. That's Elijah. Moses and Elijah with Jesus in that brilliant light that grasps them all. And Peter blurts out, it's good for us to be here. Lord, if you wish, we can put up three shelters and tarry here with you and Moses and Elijah. A few creative words musing that what might have that morning looked like to draw you into that moment through your imagination. To bring you to the mountaintop and to the wonder and even more into the reality. The reality that is beyond what our physical senses can feel or perceive. A reality, though not seen, is more real than this world. For this world will pass away one day. But the reality of the eternal will go on into what is eternal. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, those inner three, his closest companions. He brought them along for one of these most unique experiences could ever be written about. From Matthew chapter 17, beginning of verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Luke's account includes that, Luke chapter 9, verse 32. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. Luke's account also includes, from Luke chapter 9, verse 31, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. That word, transfigured. That moment that Jesus brought up the three to the mountain to witness, the three, Peter, James, and John, to see, companions on a mountain hike. They're great to have, but they were brought along. These three were brought along specifically to be witnesses, eyewitnesses. Oftentimes, Jesus would go off by himself to pray. Matthew 14, verse 23. After he had dismissed them, that's Jesus, dismissed them, Jesus went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there all alone. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke chapter 5 verse 16. But Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. So this slipping away into the lonely place of the wilderness was not done to be alone to pray. This time the three were brought along to be witnesses, to be present, to see, and to hear. Jesus was transfigured. How does one put into words the extraordinary that just once in all of human history happens? How to put into words that truly capture the moment? The Greek word is metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis. Most familiar with this word metamorphosis, and when you hear metamorphosis, you probably think of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. But you think of it, that caterpillar, I mean, it's a fat creature, crawling along the green leaves with multiple legs, becoming a creature with just a tiny body, long antennae, and those magnificent multicolored wings. When you hear the word metamorphosis, that's what comes to most people's minds. A caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Transfigured, though, is vastly different than that English of metamorphosis. From the Greek, we pull. The Greek word for transfigured is a compound word of meta and morpho. Meta means change after being with. And meta is the first part that means change after being with. Morpho means changing form in keeping with the inner reality. Let that sink in. Morpho means changing form in keeping with the inner reality. That inner reality. This word is used four times in the New Testament. It's used in Matthew, Mark, Romans, and 2 Corinthians. Luke uses different language when writing about the change that took place. Luke chapter 9, verse 29. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Luke, in the words he's using, is emphasizing the qualitative change that was distinctive. Jesus changed, becoming as bright as lightning. So bright is this lightning that a flash from lightning, you know, a flash from lightning, maybe you do that. a flash of lightning miles and miles away, and how many of you start counting the seconds? You see the flash of lightning, go 1,002, or do you 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi? Because you know on average about 5 seconds is 1 mile. So you count up to 5 seconds, the lightning's a mile away. 10 seconds, the lightning's approximately 2 miles away. You better get cover if it's that close anyways. But do you do that? You hear you count the flash, start counting until you hear that rolling thunder come to you. But this is so bright. Could you imagine being right there? Well, you know how bright it is when you see the flash and you hear the thump at the same time. Kaboom! And how bright that light is. Well, how imagine being there with lightning as bright as the sun. You're right there. How do you put that into words? How do you put that in human words? So brilliant. Luke uses lightning and the sun and the sunlight to describe. Transfigured in Matthew and Mark. Emphasis is slightly different. Emphasis of what happened. The what happened came from inside Jesus. Luke's emphasizing the change. Mark and Matthew emphasizing the change came from inside of Jesus. As the root word for morpho emphasizes, and I'm quoting the Helps Word Study, taking on the form that properly embodies a particular inner essence. Taking on a form that emphasizes that particular inner essence. So what was being seen on this mountainside was the inner essence of Jesus. The reality of Jesus at his deepest inner essence. What this means is on this mountaintop, Jesus, this inner part of Jesus, which is his true essence of who he is being shown forth. The fullness of the reality of who Jesus truly is shown forth, and the greatness of the glory. The greatness of the glory residing in Jesus. For a brief moment breaks forth to be seen by the 3 eyewitnesses. Brought along for that specific purpose. To see what takes place. To see the glory of Jesus shine forth. And also see Moses and Elijah with Jesus. Remember the Councils of Nicaea, 325 AD. Do you remember why the Council of Nicaea was called? The council was called to settle the controversy over the nature of Jesus and his relationship to the Father. Did God create Jesus? Arian was teaching that. Arianism believed that God created Jesus, and that Jesus was not eternal with God. That's Arianism. A number of others were standing up and saying, no, that's a false teaching. This false teaching of Arianism was spreading. And it had to be countered. It had to be condemned as false. Jesus is created. He's not eternal like the Father. Athanasius stood firm against that. And they came and they argued and it went back and forth. And from this Council of Nicaea, 325 AD, the Confession of Faith of the Church, known as the Nicene Creed, came about. And in the creed, it emphasizes the essence, the nature of Jesus as the same as the Father. The nature of the Son is the same as the Father. So from the key, this key part of the creed is that Jesus is the same substance, homoousia. Homoousia is the Greek word, homoousia. Same homoousia, substance. Same substance. So we confess in the Nicene Creed, these are words from the creed, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. One being with the Father. That's that word. Of one substance with the Father. Homoousis of the Father. This means what the Father is, the Son is also. Jesus is of the same divine stuff as the Father. Same divine substance as the Father. Same divine essence as the Father. The same divine essence as the Father. That same essence, that divine essence, is what Peter, James, and John are witnessing. And that's why Mark and Matthew emphasize what is happening is actually coming out. The inner reality, the inner essence of who Jesus truly is being shown forth on the mountain. The same essence as the Father. And it is glory. It is glory. The same essence, that brilliant essence emanating is brilliant glory emanating from Jesus, shining from Jesus. It declares and shines forth, Jesus is God. As that glorious, brilliant light, that majestic light Peter testifies about in his letter, written some 30 years or so later. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 16. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For we received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, with whom I love, with Him I am well pleased." Peter then continues, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on that sacred mountain." Written about 30 years later, 2 Peter, of that experience, account for in Matthew chapter 17. Peter writing of the majestic glory, testifying to what happened, seeing the majesty of Jesus and hearing the voice of the Father, "This is my Son, whom I love, with Him I am well pleased." Moses is there. Elijah is there. They both were there, easily seen and recognized. Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets, the law and the prophets that Jesus came to fulfill. And Luke adds in his account for us that Moses, Elijah, and Jesus were talking about Jesus' departure, which He would bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem very soon. And it matches with what's written in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' teaching. Matthew 5, beginning of verse 17. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Fulfillment in the Greek means accomplished, brought to its completion, not until it's filled. So Jesus is now speaking with Moses and Elijah about the accomplishment. Everything brought to its accomplished conclusion. It is fulfilled. And so Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." Departure. Departure. What a simple way, nice way to say and speak about Jesus' death. That cruel death that's coming on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross will bring to fulfillment the Scriptures, as the redeeming price is paid in full by the precious blood of the innocent Lamb of God. Remember John the Baptist testified, John chapter 1, verse 29. "The next day John," that's John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Takes away the sin of the world. Forgiveness of sins. Jesus, the Son of God, is God, as the glory showing forth in the mountaintop declares, is the same one who was crucified and died on the cross for the sins of the world, which means died on the cross for you. You can know with certainty the forgiveness of sins is yours through Jesus Christ, as the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaims. Returning to chapter 2 of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, the second letter of Peter chapter 1, verse 16. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Clearly invented stories. In the Greek, the word is mythos. Mythos, also pronounced as muthos. And from muthos, we get the word myth. Myth, muthos, a myth, a fable, a fanciful story. And perhaps you fishermen have told this fanciful story. You know the tale of that humongously giant fish you had on the line. You were just inches away from landing it. It was this big, this big, this big. You know, each time the telling, the fish gets bigger. I mean, it was, and then he got away. That's a myth. That's a fanciful story. But that's not the story Peter is telling, nor the story the apostles are preaching. Mythos, it means a false account, yet posing as the truth. Really let that sink in. The Greek word, mythos, is a false account, yet posing to be the truth. It's a fabrication, a fable, which subverts and replaces what is actually true. And boy, I could give you a lot of examples in current news media today, but I won't do that today. But it's mythos, faith masquerading as truth. We're not following that. Peter's declaring, we're not following that. We're not following these cleverly invented stories, these mythos, these fabrications which subvert and replace what is actually true. Peter is declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ they have been proclaiming and the apostles have been dying for, the gospel they have been martyred for with their own blood in very cruel ways. This gospel is not an invented tale. The coming and life of Jesus Christ is not a fable. And the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross, they're not fable, no. They're actual history. They're actual history. We were eyewitnesses of it all. It is true history. These things happened. The coming and the life of Jesus Christ and the redeeming work on the cross is actual history. And to emphasize the truth of the history, Peter recounts this moment of Jesus being transfigured, that glory of Jesus breaking forth. Being eyewitnesses of Jesus' majestic glory and hearing the Father's voice, the Son of me. Beloved of me, this is in whom I have found delight. What this means? What this means is that very God, a very God, died on the cross for the sins of the world. As that human man, Jesus, who is fully human and fully divine, the exact same essence as the Father, died on the cross the perfect Lamb of God for the sins of the world. Can you comprehend it? How can the very God of very God, who is life, die on the cross? But that is what happened. It's actual history. Because Jesus, fully human and fully God, fully human, fully divine, died on the cross. The perfect Lamb of God for the sins of the world. The events that brought us forgiveness of sins is actual human history. The law, the prophets, Moses and Elijah spoke with Jesus about in that brilliant, shining light, bright as the sun, emanating from Jesus. It is actual human history. Matthew chapter 17, verse 9. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Son of Man has raised from the dead. Has been raised from the dead. And the eyewitnesses of the account on that mountain, of what took place on the mountain, they have been telling. They've been telling. And it has been told. Moments of reality that human words nor human senses can really comprehend. Where that reality of what is truly real and eternal was glimpsed. Showing there is life. There is life. There is life after physical death. Showing the words written in the Holy Scriptures, the law and the prophets, they are true. They are the truth and they reveal the one true living God. The gospel of Jesus Christ proclaiming the finished work of Christ on the cross, in fact, redeems your soul of those who believe. All of this is by grace, a free gift of compassionate mercy for us. It is by grace you are saved. And you can know the certainty of your salvation because the gospel of Jesus Christ is true history. The eyewitnesses of His majestic glory have told us so. Amen. Amen.